Hi, this is Sandy Rios. Well, about 6 months ago, it was February of 2026, we ran a story about what we were learning about how the voting machines could be corrupted and how this all began in Venezuela with Hugo Chavez. It was a fascinating telling of the story. Lara Logan, we borrowed from her show, which we give credit to, and we play a lot of the interactions, and it's really very fascinating. And I think, given all that's happening, all the information that we're receiving now, the affirmation, I didn't doubt that was true at the time, but now people are finally willing to confess that it's actually true. And so I thought it was a good time, since we're going to be focusing on the midterms and on the election fraud that we have been experiencing, all the truth that's being revealed, it would be good to revisit this so you could understand again how we got to this point where America has been flooded with voting machines that actually have the ability to change votes from a remote location. That's the story you're going to hear today as we listen again to the origins of how this happened. Here we go, February 2026.
In this particular case, it went from Smartmatic,
yeah,
as Ralph said, to Sequoia. And then from Sequoia, they were forced, because of the CFIUS investigation, to sell it to Dominion, which was a Canadian company,
yes,
out of Toronto, that had only run one small election in a Toronto suburb in a period of 8 years. And that was a company that was in sort of a Soros incubator up,
yeah,
there, all right?
Yeah.
And so now they sort of become the, and so when—
But they
when
sell they, it for next to nothing. It's not
so,
a real sale.
So when they buy it, now they have control of those machines in 22 or 24% of the market in the United States, but primarily the swing states for electing a president of the United States.
And as everybody knows, you don't have to win in every state, because you look at the map of America, there's more. It's a sea of red with tiny pockets of blue. And so you just, if you can win those swing states, you can take an election. And if you can control the machines, you can hold on to power forever.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. This honestly might be one of the most important shows I've ever done. And that's saying something. At least for our time. I have mentioned this. I did a show on this a couple of weeks ago. There is new evidence. I mean, real evidence, real testimony. People being brought in from other countries to prove that the 2020 election indeed was stolen, plus many other elections prior in other countries around the world. In our country, the investigation of the voting machines, it is stunning. Your jaw will drop. And so today I'm doing something a little different. I'm actually, Lara Logan did a recent podcast with two men, and I'll describe them on the other side of the break. But they, her podcast, by the way, is called Going Rogue with Lara Logan. So I want to make sure that I give her full credit for this. We're not playing the whole thing, but we're going to play bits and portions. And I think one thing I want to tell you is that I know people involved in this. And I know people that know these two men that she interviews. So, and nothing but accolades, the highest accolades from people that I trust. So this is earth-shattering. It's earth-shattering. And I hope that you'll stay tuned. I want to put the link to Lara's podcast on our Facebook or our social media pages, because I would love for you to listen to the whole thing. It's like 2.5 hours, something like that. Yes, it's about all of these past years of theft of elections in our country and around the world. And if we don't stop it now, we will never have a fair, free election again. And so with that, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Well, 80,000, and that's how many babies were rescued last year with preborn, over 80,000 lives saved, thanks to people like you, the faithful supporters of preborn. Every single day, thousands of women hear the same devastating lie that abortion is their only option. And they're alone, and there is no hope. You believe in this information age, they would know better. But really, the propaganda has gotten so loud that young women, I don't really do think they understand that they do have an alternative. But everything changes the moment a mother in crisis walks into a preborn network clinic. She sees her baby on ultrasound, and that moment doubles her chance of choosing life, because you know why. She sees the baby. Because it's not just an image on a screen. It's a baby made in the image of God, a sacred life that God has created, meant to be protected. And when she hears her baby's heartbeat, maybe for the very first time, something really holy happens, even in people who don't know Jesus or don't have an awareness of God. There's some move in a mother's heart. That divine connection doubles her baby's chance of life. So let's be there for her. One preborn donor shared this powerful truth. My mother chose life, and that's why I'm here. And that's why I donate to Preborn, to help other moms choose life. For just $28, you can provide one life-saving ultrasound. Let's make this year the very biggest in history. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. And I thank you always for your generosity. Faithfully, these last years we've been doing this. All right, well, I'm going to ask Bruce to join me again today because he's been listening to this. We've listened to it together. I've listened to it probably twice. It is the most incredible interview, and it's not my first time at this rodeo. These men are incredible. Their credentials are incredible. We'll discuss that a little bit. I suppose you'll have to take my word for the people that I trust I think this is golden, and that's the reason, you know, Tulsi Gabbard mentioned in that very first cabinet meeting that they're going to get to the bottom of the 2020 election. She talked about the voting machines, and people kind of scratched their heads and said, what? What did she just say? But that's what happened. So stay tuned to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
I've got a long list of things that we're investigating. We have the best of the best going after this. Election integrity being one of them. We have evidence of how these electronic voting systems have been vulnerable to hackers for a very long time and vulnerable to exploitation to manipulate the results of the votes being cast, which further drives forward your mandate to bring about paper ballots across the country so that voters can have faith in the integrity of our elections.
That was a jaw dropper. That was the very first cabinet meeting a year ago with President Trump as president of the United States. And Tulsi Gabbard was appointed. That's actually when I fell in love with Tulsi Gabbard. I had never been a fan before that. Honestly, I'd suspected her. I didn't feel comfortable with her. I was wrong about her. And here she at this public cabinet meeting, as they're doing them now, is saying that they're going to investigate the voting machines, daring to say after years of nonsense about there being no voter fraud in 2020, nothing wrong with the machines. I've heard that from people that I know and love. No, nothing wrong. After Fox and Newsmax and every radio network in the country being sued up their ears, individuals sued by Dominion to shut up, shut up, shut up. Anybody who said there was a problem with the voting machines was excoriated, made to be a fool. To hear Tulsi Gabbard in that cabinet meeting say what she said was amazing to me. All right, well, a lot has happened in this past year, and this investigation, this very serious investigation, is full-throated now, and action is being taken. The two men that you're going to hear, this is, again, in Laura Logan's podcast, Going Rogue. So please, I'm going to give Laura full credit for this. This is content from her podcast we're going to re-air. She's interviewing a guy named Gary Bernstein, who is a former CIA operative. Now, he's not just a guy who sits at a desk at Langley. This guy is in the field. He is legendary. He has led operations behind the scenes in Afghanistan. In fact, there was a book written about it called Jawbreaker. It was a New York Times bestseller. And he wrote this with the second guy, Ralph Pizzullo. Ralph is a New York Times bestseller, has lots of bestsellers, and but they're both patriots. And anytime you take on something like this, where nobody wants to hear it and everybody's destroyed that touches it, that tells you something about these men. They're going to unfold this story today in such a way, and I just have to have you listen. I have to. I am compelled. And so we're going to be starting with the voice of, well, I'm not sure which one starts, but they're going to be talking about how this whole voter machine thing started. It's a fascinating story. Here we go.
It's a system that originated in Venezuela in the early 2000s. It was a computer system that was originally designed to help Chavez win the referendum in 2004. He was in trouble. He was going to lose.
Hugo Chavez was the president
dictator,
of Venezuela at the time.
The president of Venezuela. And he had to hold a referendum according to the Constitution.
And he knew he was going to lose.
And the Cubans told him. The Cubans were very close to Hugo Chavez. In fact, he considered Castro to be his father. He was an illegitimate son. And Castro took advantage of this. He saw that Hugo Chavez was needy psychologically and developed this very close relationship with him. Of course, he had ulterior motives because Venezuela is one of the richest countries in the world. It has the highest oil reserves in the world and tremendous wealth and natural resources. And Castro saw this as an opportunity to be able to fund a lot of the activities that he wanted to spread his ideology throughout Latin America and the world.
And he wanted to dominate Latin America.
He wanted to dominate Latin America. So going back to 2004, he tells Chavez, he says, you're going to lose. You're going to lose the referendum unless you do something. And Chavez is like, you know, well, what do I do? And they came up with this idea. Well, there's a new technology. It's called electronic voting. And if you can develop software that can be used to manipulate the results of electronic voting, you know, maybe we have something. So they go out and they find three Venezuelan computer engineers, graduates of Simon Bolivar University, which is their equivalent of MIT, and they put them to work and they come up with this software and they install it in Olivetti touch
lottery machines.
Yeah, machines.
And what machines? Gary?
Lottery machines.
Lottery machines.
Went to Italy. They flew to Italy and got thousands of those machines and inserted the source code and the software inside those machines.
Yeah. And the election, Hugo Chavez wins the election, the referendum, by a slim margin. And he is thrilled. Castro's thrilled. So they give these engineers $200 million and they say, okay, perfect this system.
Yeah.
And let's try to apply it to some elections in Latin America. And they do that, and they end up in the early 2000s, one election after another, a leftist leader in Latin America is elected.
Yes.
Evo Morales in Bolivia, mm-hmm. Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
The Kirchners
in Argentina.
Very important.
This is a dream for Castro, right? I mean, he's been supporting guerrilla movements for years, trying to establish a base in these countries. And here you just do it with electronic voting machines.
And nobody sees it. Nobody says a word.
Nobody knows because nobody understands.
Nobody sees it.
Nobody understands the technology.
Nor can they read the code.
Nor can they read the code.
Nor do they
don't
have
know.
Access to the code.
That's right. So what happens is that these three gentlemen start a company in the United States.
Which three gentlemen?
The same three Venezuelan engineers.
The same three engineers.
Antonio Mujica, Roger Peñate, and Alfredo Anzola.
Yeah.
And
Antonio Mujica, Roger Peñate. Peñate and?
Antonio
Anzola. And they were Venezuelan Americans, all three of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because then they started Smartmatic. Right?
They were the founders of Smartmatic,
which they did with Venezuelan money.
In Boca Raton.
Yes.
In Boca Raton, Florida. And
the source code was always owned by the Venezuelan government. That's important. Yeah. So they were able, through corporate manipulation, to always hide the true ownership of Smartmatic.
Well, they did a fake sale. right? Yes. Because when the U.S. Treasury Department, because what happened, they started to buy up,
it was,
and people realized, wait a minute, we got these Venezuelans who are involved in our elections. What is this? And so they had that Treasury investigation slapped on them.
That's right.
And they started to fight it.
That's right.
And then they were like, no, this isn't going to work.
That's right. So it all happened in around 2006, and there was a political officer in Caracas, Downs?
Well, actually, the ambassador was Brownfield.
Yeah.
Brownfield was the officer. I don't remember his name, but Brownfield released a cable from the U.S. Embassy in Caracas that laid out the suspected criminality of these individuals and that company very clearly in a full 5-page report.
And he's an American diplomat.
Sent it
to the State Department. We don't know what happened to the cable, but he lays it all out, lays out all the questions. Like, this company, Smartmatic, is winning contracts in election districts all across the United States, and it's Venezuelan owned.
Yes. And how can we have a foreign company own the software for our elections?
How is this allowed?
Yeah.
They in 2007, they bought another company called Sequoia to try and migrated the software into Sequoia voting machines.
Yes.
Sequoia had been a voting company for many years, and they applied for the permit to run elections in California. Mm-hmm. California at the time, you had to go through the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State had to do an examination of the software to see if it was legitimate. And they hired a bunch of engineers from MIT and Berkeley, and they went through it, and they went, this software looks like it was designed to steal elections.
Yeah.
And they rejected it.
That's a lot to take in, but let me make it relevant. I've talked about this before. I've discussed Venezuela for so many years. But for those of you that haven't listened and may have forgotten, how can you remember all these things? When the Soviet Union imploded, Castro took the lead in the Western Hemisphere because the Soviets no longer had their capability. And prior to that, those of you that are older will remember we had all of these revolutions and violent overthrows in Central and South America. We had all kinds of conflict, and they would overthrow governments through bloody conflict. Well, the Sao Paulo Forum was a group of South American, Central American leaders who gathered under the leadership of Castro to figure out what to do next. And this much I knew. I knew that they decided that rather than go for violent revolution, they would win through the political process. But what I'm sharing with you today, I had no idea when I talked to you years ago that this was part of their plan, these voting machines. So now the second thing is we've had a huge headline. We've had so many, but 2 weeks ago, President Trump went into Venezuela and we took Nicolas Maduro. Now, Hugo Chavez is dead and Maduro was his handpicked man. So you're going to see probably not the part we're going to play today, but if we did, you would see just how big that was and is. You know, it always amazes me that President Trump has knowledge and he doesn't explain it all. Sometimes he explains it very poorly. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Venezuela is the epicenter of all of this voter fraud around the world. And so stay tuned. We're going to make that case. I'm not done. In fact, let's go on. Let's go back to California. That was the first place they tried these messed up voting machines that they had designed to be able to manipulate. This is clip two.
Well, 2011, that was during Schwarzenegger's reign as governor of California. In 2011, Jerry Brown is elected, mm-hmm. and Jerry Brown changes the law. That requirement is gotten rid of very secretly, quietly, and now and then
Smartmatic comes
back. They reintroduce.
Smartmatic comes back in. And by the way, California is the only state in the nation that still has Smartmatic run its elections.
That's
Los
right.
Angeles.
That's right.
Yeah, Los Angeles. That's right. Los
and
Angeles.
There will never be a legitimate, accurate election in
never.
Los Angeles County with Smartmatic running it. You're basically you're allowing a foreign country, an enemy, to run elections in California, in Los Angeles County. And that's been duplicated in every swing state in the United States. They're all run by another company called Dominion at a certain point.
With the same software, right?
The same source code. It's been modified and so on and so forth.
But it's essentially the same. In all of these companies. That's what I found when I did this investigation.
That's right.
I was like, well, they're all using the same software.
Yes, and so just to recap that, it started out in Venezuela as Smartmatic. It moved to Sequoia. These are just names. These are just names. It's the same system of fraud where there is manipulation in other countries of the votes, and they're going to get into how to explain that a little bit later. And then it moves to Dominion, which was a Canadian company initially developed under the umbrella of George Soros. And what happens next? Well, let's listen. Clip four.
So the first election that they ran in the United States was in Cook County, Illinois. It was in 2008. It was the Democratic primary between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And Clinton, who had been Secretary of State, had a big profile. Mm-hmm. She was favored to win, and they manipulated that result. Roger Pinate was actually one of the founders of Smartmatic. Went there, helped run that election, and Obama won. It was a big surprise, and it sort of propelled him to the Democratic nomination because suddenly here's this one-term state senator who beats the Secretary of State, the former First Lady. Yeah. Big surprise. Who is this guy? And at the same time, Hugo Chavez is telling his inner circle, look at me. I'm going to elect the first African-American president of the United States, and he succeeds.
Who will be pro-Cuban and support the revolution.
Yeah. Which is exactly what he did. Mm-hmm. And so since 2000...
Because he changed, remember, he lifted all the restrictions. Mm-hmm. He got rid of the sanctions. He got rid of the travel restrictions.
He went to Cuba.
And he went to Cuba. Yeah. I mean, I know because I went to Cuba several times as a journalist for CBS during Obama's time.
Yeah.
So, I went and did a whole series for CBS News. Mm-hmm. Which was all about, the wonderful reawakening and reopening of Cuba. Mm-hmm. Of course, you couldn't find any toilet paper anywhere. You had to carry your own toilet paper. Nobody talks about that part of communism, and Marxism.
Right.
Line up for days at a gas station.
Yeah,
only can buy certain things from the grocery store on certain days. Can't buy your own home. So you got generations of families crammed into, buildings where they have to take turns sleeping and standing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they leave that.
All right, so that's the voice of Lara Logan again, and on her podcast, Going Rogue. I want to back up for a second and remind you that they, meaning Hugo Chavez, along with Castro, found three young men. Now, we sometimes think, that our world, our universe, is the smartest, best anywhere, but my understanding is Simon Bolivar University or Network Institute, whatever it's called, is got brilliant engineers, and obviously they do. So they chose these three who happen to be Venezuelan Americans. Isn't that something? And they tell them to develop the software. And so they cleverly fly to Spain and try gambling casino machines to impose the software and the control. And that's what they did. And now Gary Bernstein is going to explain to us exactly how this works. Clip five.
The important thing to understand here is that Smartmatic has its office in Caracas, and it's co-located with the Consejo National Electoral, the National Electoral Commission. And there's 150 Smartmatic engineers and 150 CNE engineers side by side. And they have two missions. Number one, steal elections. Number two, defeat audit. Study audit. How do different states and different localities conduct audit so that when they're audited, you defeat audit? An example, when people put absentee ballots on a scanner, it'll take a picture and take a picture and take a picture. And then when it's about to save them, it gets ready to take a picture of almost 100 together. But what it does is they erase that picture, send in another picture because all these machines are connected to the internet. They're all hooked up. They're not supposed to be. A new picture comes in, 100 votes or 90% for the person that they want.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do the audit, you're not allowed to look in the box. You have to look at the screens. They've changed
the
rules around the country in the different states that make it almost impossible to show that they cheated because of And what they do also is they'll make proprietary the source code. You can't examine that. You can't look at different types of technologies proprietary because that's where they're cheating. And they blocked those individuals very cleverly. One of the things that we learned is there's 14 different technical ways that you can steal an election. And they're operating off different parts of the machinery, but they can use number one and number three, number six and number seven. They can use combinations, and they never use the same combinations in adjacent districts.
So that you can't find patterns.
They prepare an election a year in advance. They have the poll books. They have hundreds of people. They have statisticians. They have comms engineers, software engineers. This was the science of engineer theft and a multi-billion dollar business globally.
All right, so that's, I know the problem with discovering this, because I tried to make this case a long time ago. I talked with former Senator Pat Kolbeck in Michigan, who's was a NASA-trained engineer. We talked a lot about this, and I understood in general, I'm not a computer person, but I got the picture. And you will remember how many people's lives have been destroyed by trying to tell this message. I think of Sidney Powell, who came out trying to explain it, that it was Venezuelan, and there's another country involved here in a second, a couple of other countries. And she was excoriated. She was one of the most successful, famous, brave persons to ever come out of the Justice Department, and they shredded her. Giuliani, he's lost his law license for what he said about this. People have been sued, like John Eastman and all these people around the country for, there's a lot of voter fraud. There's a lot of problems. It's not just the machines, but truly, if you have control of the machines, what else does the rest matter? So I think of Tina Peters, my friend in Colorado, who's in prison at 70 for keeping the records on the voting machine in her. She was the elected county clerk for the elections. She kept the thumb drive and copied it because she knew they were changing things. And now she's in prison, a Gold Star mom. Patrick Byrne, the founder of Overstock. And Patrick has spent, my understanding from other people is that he spent his fortune paying for this because no one else would do it. All right, let's go back. So these little engineers who are American Venezuelans, well, actually, it's broader than that. I want to kind of give you an idea of how personnel, people came to the U.S. and how that part started. This is clip six.
And that's what you document in this book is how they have, it started in Venezuela, and yes, it spread to the United States, but they have stolen elections all over the world.
Yes, that's correct.
In fact, you know, there's that famous video on YouTube of the Philippines Parliament, right, when they excoriate a man called Haida Garcia, who's a member, an employee of Smartmatic.
Yes, that's correct.
And they know that their election has been stolen. Mm-hmm. They know Smartmatic is responsible. And, I mean, that guy sits there and he gets beaten up by the Parliament in the Philippines. And then they banish him, right? They kick him out of the country. And where does he go? He ends up in Tarrant County,
Fort Worth, Texas.
Now,
right?
Yeah.
Yes. Which
is the election commissioner.
Yes.
That was
as
in
the
Dallas,
election commissioner.
Right?
Now he moved up. Then he moved to Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's the president of Heart InterCivic,
I believe. Yeah, which is another, they give it another company. It's Heart InterCivic or it's Smartmatic or it's Sequoia or it's Dominion.
Right. But
they all
the
use
business.
The same software. And the best part is the first election that he runs in Texas, he had a county that had been red for 67 years straight. Mm-hmm. And in one election cycle, he flipped it blue.
Well, it shows you how far they've penetrated our election system. So these engineers and their you know they end up running elections in all these counties. They take over. They you know that's part of their contract. And so you know they develop expertise and they learn how to penetrate our system. They learn how to hide the results. And you know they've been doing this since 2008.
You know that kind of hits close to home because my colleague, Abraham Hamilton III, who you hear on this network all the time, I'm almost certain was from Tarrant County. And he kind of made his bones as a prosecutor there around this issue. I can't repeat to you because I can't remember this just went through my mind. But this, Tarrant County, Texas, they are going in there to pollute the elections, and they were very successful. But of course, it didn't end there. The investigation began, the one that Gary Bernstein and Ralph Pezzullo write about. And by the way, I recommend the podcast Going Rogue with Lara Logan on this. I also, if you're not a podcast listener, the book is called, it's brand new, it's called Stolen Elections, The Takedown of Democracies Worldwide. Stolen Elections, The Takedown of Democracies Worldwide. And these two men we're talking to are the authors of that book, mainly Ralph Pezzullo, the New York Times bestseller, whose voice you're hearing. All right, so this is how the investigation began, what they tried to do, clip 7.
In 2020, I am with my business partner, and we do asset recovery. We were studying and doing filings against the Cartel del Solis, the largest criminal cartel in the world, drug trafficking.
Which is Venezuelan.
Which is the Venezuelan regime.
And it's the Cartel of the Suns,
yes,
right?
And it's called the Cartel of the Suns is because it's the Venezuelan army. They have suns on their epaulets, not stars. Mm-hmm. So the Venezuelan army is the logistical arm of the cartel, and it's led by Nicolas Maduro, the president. The president of Venezuela is the cartel leader, all right? So we're doing this investigation on the filing, and we see the election happen, and I turn to my business partner. His name is Martin Rodil. He's a Venezuelan initially. He's got a green card now, living in the United States, and he's a genius.
And this is 2020?
This is 2020, and he turns to me and says, I was involved in an investigation years ago, and Smartmatic was stealing elections in Venezuela. And I'm sure they were. He gave me some information. We said, let's look this up and start looking at these things.
Well, there were a lot of people in Venezuela who felt that, right? I mean, there were protests, and there was an uprising, and backlash against it. Because the Venezuelans didn't believe the election result.
So within a couple of days, we had an individual in Miami contact us. It was a university professor in Venezuela that had trained many of the people that were working for Smartmatic. And he told us the story of how they were stealing elections. And he knew quite a bit. Then he introduced us to an actual employee of Smartmatic. And that individual had a family member that was involved, and he was murdered by the company. And that story was unbelievable. And then we met another, and we went through human, the two of us. Martin Rodil, my business partner, is one of the most capable people on the planet.
Very well
respected. And very, very brave. Mm-hmm. And the regime hates him. And we went from source to source and grew the knowledge bigger and bigger and bigger. And almost for 2 years, we did this. And then finally, we thought we need help because we're getting a larger number of sources. So we sought out General Mike Flynn because he's a good friend and he's a patriot.
Great man.
And when we met General Flynn, he took us to a place and we met with him and a man by the name of Patrick Byrne. And
yes,
Patrick Byrne.
I know Patrick.
Patrick Byrne is the man that ultimately financed this. None of this would have been possible for us to
if he hadn't put the money up.
A dozen of these things to pay for all. We built a computer lab. It was just unbelievable. We got images of elections that were released by courts so we could practice with them and the engineers. And so we got members from not just Smartmatic, but from Dominion, from other companies, all these people that did this. And we literally had a computer lab outside the United States. We built it in one place and then built it in another place because when we went and tried to get help in the United States, we went to the FBI, to an FBI officer in Washington, D.C.
How'd that work out?
And when we briefed the FBI officer and they saw that, they said, Mr. Bernstein, you need to flee the city. The FBI, my supervisors, if they see this, will find a way to destroy this and they will charge you with crimes of some type to stop you. And I didn't think that was funny. And I said, we're not fleeing. And that FBI officer said, look, you need to help us because I know what you're doing. I understand you're trying to save the country. Go to the Congress and go to the media. They'll help you. Well, we went to the media. We went to, and I'm not going to say the names, but we went to some pretty well-known journalists who didn't want any part of us. Didn't want to, we showed them what we had. And that's shocking, but I'm afraid my company won't let me report this. And when we went to the Congress, they were afraid.
Should have come to me.
They wouldn't have helped. They wouldn't help us. One politician in America was not afraid.
Who was
Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma.
Yes. Yes.
He's a real man, that
he's
guy.
He's a real man.
He is a hell of a guy.
Also went and rescued people in Afghanistan.
He's a hell of a guy. And he, when he saw it, but it took us years to get to him.
Yeah.
And all this time, you know, we're, you know, Patrick Byrne and all these engineers are, you know, engineering and re-engineering and moving country and doing all of this stuff.
Well, Patrick is kind of a savant.
And Mike Flynn, though, was a real hero because Flynn believed in us, went to see the engineers. He didn't want to just believe us. Flynn wanted to talk to the engineers. He was like, these are the real engineers. Yeah. They built the damn system, people.
That was the unique they part built about the source their investigation code. Is that they had got the guys, they had recruited the people who built the source code, who were running the system, who were running elections.
All right, we're not done with that. But let me just say, there are people now who've been in hiding under protection now for some time. Lots of people from other countries are being brought into our country. They're actually, this investigation is going forward. It's a serious investigation. Now, these guys say they went to the press, they went to other places. Well, here's more flesh on that story, clip 8.
You could go to them and say, how did you steal this election? And they go, okay, we did it this way.
Listen, you know what? That's called a first-hand source.
Yes,
first-hand source.
9 months before the election, we think, okay, this isn't working out with the journalists. This is not working out with the Congress. You bloody people don't want to help us.
Again, Gary, you went to the wrong journalist.
Right.
So let's go to, there was one U.S. attorney in the country that we knew. And that U.S. attorney was a brave guy. He was a smart guy. I don't want to say his name because he's involved in investigations that are important right now on this. And we went to him and we did the full brief with our attorneys with us. We brought three of our attorneys. We sat in front of a U.S. attorney and three AUSAs and did the full show for 3.5 hours, showed the technology, the whole thing. And they took unbelievable notes and they said, okay, stand pat. We're going to report all of this to the Office of Public Integrity. And probably within 3 to 4 weeks, the FBI will contact you and work with you on this. They never contacted us. They decided to pursue us and investigate us. Shame on them.
Punish you.
Shame on them.
Punish you and hopefully intimidate
and
you,
so
right?
And so I knew when we got to month 2 or 3 and then called us, and we knew that they cut him off. They wouldn't answer the phone. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't answer his emails or anything like that. I literally packed my family up, and I moved to Switzerland for a year because we were going to continue our efforts, but I didn't want the Bureau to be able to follow me every day, listen to my phone every day, track me every day. I figured I needed to get out of the country, which I did. I had to leave America for a year.
So that's the voice of Gary Bernstein. I think that's amazing. And he did do that. And in the course of telling, I think I aired this part where someone involved in this was murdered. They knew this was serious stuff. And when the FBI said, get out of the city, when the guy at the FBI told him to get out, he wasn't kidding, and that was no joke. And so that's what he did. He went to Switzerland. I'm going to take a brief break. And then when we return, there's like a capstone to this that I want to play. And also, I want to bring Bruce in for his comments on this, certainly since the FBI was mentioned and his perspective on what happened.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, you know, as Preborn celebrates 20 years of saving babies, there's a moment right now that can save countless lives for years to come. An ultrasound machine doesn't just show a picture. It introduces a mom to her child, and many clinics don't have one, nor can they afford one. Preborn's goal is simple and urgent. Place an ultrasound machine in every clinic across America that needs one. If you have the means, would you consider a tax-deductible gift of $15,000 to save countless lives? I hope that you will. Go to preborn.com/Sandy to make that generous donation or any amount that you can afford. preborn.com/Sandy. How many times in the years you've listened to me have I said something like, say something, do something? There's time to take action specific to this week. You know that the NFL decided to invite an artist, quote-unquote, Puerto Rican artist called Bad Bunny to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show. Well, that sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? I mean, he must be, you know, like clever or interesting or very talented, right? He's actually the global, as far as I'm concerned, spokesman for everything woke, decadent, anti-American. He's going to be wearing a dress. He's going to be pushing transgenderism, homosexuality, bending the curve, they say, on sexuality. He's going to do the whole thing in Spanish because, after all, he can. The NFL's given him permission. At the Grammys a few days ago, he made comments, silly ones. I always feel these men, these artists, are so, well, mother, forgive me, dumb. They're so dumb. He made some comment about regarding Minneapolis that we're not savages, we're not animals. And I wish I could have said, Bad Bunny, Mr. Bad Bunny, what about that person on the streets of Minneapolis that bit off the finger of an ICE agent? And another person who tried to bite off the finger of a different ICE agent. What about that? Was that an animal? Was that a human being? Are we compassionate? We're just so compassionate about illegal immigrant criminals. We have to save those rapists and those pedophiles. It's just important. We got to protect them. We got to protect them. That's what Bad Bunny thinks. So he is doing, I think, a full 30 minutes at the Super Bowl this coming Sunday night. So how do we respond to that? The Super Bowl, the NFL has gone woke for a long time. They've had performances that have made all of us blush. I could go on and on. Janet Jackson's, you know, wardrobe failure was just one of them. And we know this is happening. You and I know where our kids are going to be watching, our families, our aunts and uncles, our moms and dads, our fellow church members, fellow believers in Christ, want to watch the Super Bowl because that's an American pastime. Are you really going to sit through that and do nothing? Are you really? You have an alternative, and that's what I want to get to. Turning Point USA has been saying for months they're going to have an alternative halftime program, and they do. They do, and they are. And so I don't care if it's terrible. I don't think it will be terrible, but I'm just telling you, that to me is irrelevant. I'm going to turn off the NFL, and I will not subject myself, my mind, my family, and even just my personal choice of conscience to listen to what they are forcing down our throats, this sickness. And Roger Goodell, what kind of a person is he to allow and push this? Decadent. He may be in a suit, good-looking guy with blonde hair. He is decadent, responsible for the degradation of the whole world by doing this and many others prior. So Turning Point USA's halftime starts, I believe, at 8 o'clock. So they're going to show it on ways that you can access it. I'm just pretty confident each and every one of you can get to one of these outlets. It's going to be on the Turning Point USA YouTube channel. It's going to be on Rumble. It's going to be on networks like Real America's Voice, OAN, A One America News, Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN. You can find that on your cable channel. The Daily Wire. So this is something that will not cost you your reputation, won't make your neighbors mad at you. This is a safe thing to do, and I don't even like to say that because I wish you'd do some unsafe things. But say something. Do something. You can turn that off. You can drop out millions of people on the Nielsen ratings from that halftime show. You can do that, and you can be blessed and entertained and save your family the degradation of watching this Bad Bunny and whatever else they're going to show on the Super Bowl halftime. All right, that's my plea to you for the sake of righteousness and what's good. And we're not cowards. You know, I would mention that one of the lists of people who will never make it into heaven, there's many of them in the Bible, along with adulterers and, you know, fornicators. We have all this list in our head, is cowards. And God has said, don't be lukewarm. I'll spit you out of my mouth. So I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to encourage you, maybe in a negative way, do what's right. Do what's right, and you will be so glad you did. So I'm through. A Million Moms, by the way, is boycotting, and our 1 million moms, and they are encouraging you to boycott that halftime show, and I hope you will.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I I posted it.
Yeah.
Because I knew when I saw it, I was like, oh, here goes Gary. He's laying it all out there.
Right.
And I wanted people to see. I was hoping, too.
The book was supposed to come out.
And the book was supposed to come out right then.
We had
Tell the story
all.
Of the book.
When I heard the briefing, this was in the summer of 2024, I contacted a publisher that I know.
Mm.
I told him he wanted to see the presentation, the evidence himself. Martine flew to New York and showed it to him.
Mm-hmm.
The guy came out and he went, oh my God, Ralph, we got to save the country. We got to get this book out before the election. So I wrote the book in basically like 5 or 6 weeks to get it out on time. A week before the book was supposed to come out, like October 12th or something like that. A week before, suddenly he goes, we got to stop. I'm like, what? Everything had been finished. Proofread, cover, publicity was starting to go out. And we were like, what's going on? And he goes, oh, my lawyer. So Gary and I get on the phone with him. We had a bunch of conversations. Suddenly we were shut down. For a year, we were shut down.
Can you say which publisher?
What do you think?
Up to you.
Yeah, it's Skyhorse.
I'll make a correction. We went to the Department of Public Safety Intelligence, not the Rangers, in Texas.
Yeah.
But we gave them the whole brief. And no, can't do anything.
So they shut down the book. And, so I told Gary, we got to get something out before the election.
I was trying to do a TV series on it before the election. I had a whole deck and I was trying to raise the funds and I couldn't get it. I was like, I can show you this global network that leads all the way into the US, and how they're stealing elections. Nobody would fund it.
This is the other part about that I'm glad you brought up the global nature is because Venezuela along the way, when this proved to be effective, suddenly China showed up with a lot of money, right?
Of course.
Russia showed up. Iran showed up.
Hundreds of millions they poured in.
Yeah. And they were all
because they could see what it could do.
They knew what it was doing.
They saw how powerful it was. What an incredible system. We can undermine the country we hate the most, which is the United States.
They could do it in Europe too, They could do it in the U.S.
They don't have to fight a war against us.
Yeah,
they have adopted this system.
They don't have to pay for an expensive war. They don't have to deal with all the recriminations.
This software is now used in 72 countries around the world. 72.
And that gives you an idea of how big this is. I just played 45 minutes for you of a 2.5-hour podcast, Lara Logan's Going Rogue. And I just, please listen to it. Put it on while you're washing dishes. I don't know what you're doing, sleeping and trying to sleep, riding in your car, and just take it all in. And the second thing is this book, Stolen Elections, The Takedown of Democracies Worldwide, the one written by Ralph Pezzullo, and I believe Gary was his co-writer, Gary Bernstein. And so these are the two guys we're talking about right now. Well, I want to bring Bruce into the conversation again. Bruce was a prosecutor in Cook County, Chicago, Illinois. We were both there when Obama beat, Hillary Clinton. That's one point. And the second thing is that he was an FBI agent for 24 years. And so, Bruce, didn't they mention your office? The Office of Public Responsibility, was that a different office?
That's Public Integrity. That is a different office. I was the Office of Professional Responsibility.
Okay. All right. Well, just I'm going to turn you loose. I mean, I want to know what you think because I know you just your thoughts.
I hate to use a trite term, but again, this shows you the deep state really does exist. And it does not exist just in the United States. It exists around the world. And you see the tentacles that come into and go out of the United States. Do you really think if these voting machines were not a real way to steal elections, that these countries being China, Iran, Russia, our country, Venezuela, do you think that these countries would be paying these engineers to get their software and to get their source codes? Absolutely not. And I think what the important part of this is these countries have figured out a way to do a soft coup against the United States. These countries know that militarily they cannot defeat the United States, but by both co-opting people within our own government and initiating the use of these voting systems, they can rig the elections of the United States. You know, we talk about elections matter, elections have consequences. This is a stark of an example, as you can see, of what it means when you say elections have consequences. Think of who was in charge of the FBI, of the presidency, of the State Department, when these gentlemen, Burnson and Pezzullo, were trying to get this information out. It was the Biden administration. Do you think the Biden administration wanted anything to do with uncovering that there had been election fraud? This is my own gut, but I am totally convinced that if not the first election, certainly the second, the re-election of Barack Obama was stolen. The numbers were not in his favor at all going into that election.
You know, Bruce, speaking of that particular issue, I want to underscore that they said that Hugo Chavez loved Obama. He wanted to help him because he was sympathetic to the revolution, because he was sympathetic to Cuba. And then they describe, and we all remember this, how he opened up Cuba. He goes down there. They make a big deal. And all of these leftist Democrats who've been going down there because they're communists, like Angela, whatever her name, I can't think of her last name. She was a famous Black Panther. Angela Davis. Yeah, and many of the others, many of the people in the Black Caucus in our Congress are affiliated. And they go on in this podcast. It's not just them. Please let me tell you, it's not just them. They have infiltrated the highest levels of our government, and there's so much money that's been poured into their cause. They have bought off almost everyone. I think about our buddy, I won't mention his name, but he was a DJ in a major radio station, and he told us that when this happened, he could not mention Dominion, he couldn't mention voter fraud, just completely, you would be fired if you did that. And I can tell you, even in conservative circles in Washington, D.C., you became a pariah when you claimed that there was a problem with the voting machines. Well, I was a pariah. I just can't. This is common sense. This is common sense. And I'm not going to be made to say something that I think is foolish, that there can't be possibly anything wrong with those voting machines.
You know, and this will go a little bit far afield, but we often wonder when we look at certain politicians that we have great respect for, and we think he or her are going to vote a particular way on a bill, and then they vote the opposite. And you scratch your head and you go, how in the world did they not vote for this or vote against it, whichever way it was supposed to go? Well, you know, we've often thought that there is so much money going around Washington, D.C. and going around the world to bribe people, to extort people, to threaten people. I mean, you've already heard examples of people being killed that they were talking about on this podcast who were maybe set to or were in a position to expose what was going on with these voting machines. And, you know, you start threatening people's families, you start threatening them personally, a lot of people will not stand, most people will not stand up to that.
You know what, Bruce, that reminds me of years ago when I used to cover gambling pretty faithfully. That was the first thing I talked about on radio in Chicago. For some reason, I knew nothing about it, but I really learned, I'll tell you. And one thing I learned was that because they had so much money, they were able to go in and co-opt and take over complete state governments in order to run their operations. That's a microcosm of the money involved in this coming in from all over the world, China and other cases. Like they said, they gave $200 million to those three engineers just to develop the software. Well, I think we've made the point, and we've got an election coming up, and we know that we're running upstream. We are working upstream. And I will, my focus is going to be on elections. In upcoming interviews here, I'm going to talk about what's going on in Georgia, the FBI raid, the deep penetration there, something really funky, which we've known for a very long time, the complicity of Republican politicians. It's amazing. And then also I'm going to be talking about the Congress. Why won't the Congress pass a bill that requires voter ID and proof of citizenship? What's going on there? Is some of that money floating into Congress? I think maybe that's possible, and maybe today we'll explain some of that. Any last thoughts, Bruce, before we say goodbye?
Well, just to add on to why we don't understand sometimes why our legislators do what they do, think of the money that's spread around by these cartels. Don't tell me that they don't have background investigators that have looked into each and every one of our politicians, our ambassadors, anybody in our government that has a high enough position that they can influence whether or not these machines get used. And, you know, a lot of people can be manipulated if you start bringing up bad stuff out of their background. Now, that may sound like a conspiracy theory to some people, but I'll guarantee it's real that many people in our government have been co-opted because of their background and or because of money being paid their way.
Yes, yes, and yes. There's so much more to say, but I think we're going to leave it with that. I want to remind you that the book is called Stolen Elections, The Takedown of Democracies Worldwide. I haven't read it yet, actually, but I hear it's a really, really fascinating, good read because this guy is a great writer, so it's not going to be boring. And the second thing is listen to Lara Logan's podcast with Gary Bernstein and Ralph Perzullo. Listen to the whole thing. You are going to be just flattened by what you hear. But I think the point is, friends, we can't give up. We embrace the truth. We are actually the Holy Spirit in this world to bring truth and to expose the darkness. That's what we're doing. And that's the only way that we'll stop it, with God's help. And of course, because God blesses our efforts, it won't stop. But I believe He is. I believe there are so many good people working on this that there may be some results. I'm optimistic, and I hope that you are too. Honey, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Pat. Well,
okay. All right, and thank you all for listening. Don't forget, Preborn is our sponsor. Could not do this without Preborn. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. And thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.